Welcome to the Rob and Kale Show. Rob Sanders.
His own mother slapped the stork that delivered him.
And Kale Hall.
He doesn't deserve to be in this business. He deserves to have been blackballed.
The Rob and Kale Podcast.
I'm not ashamed. The perfect opener that I wanted. I screwed up. Anyway, welcome into the Rob and Kale Show. My name is Rob. There's my podcast partner, my buddy in the upstate, the god of scratch tickets, and the number one Gamecock YouTuber on the planet. He is Kale Hall. Kale, what's up, brother?
What's up, guys? No need to call me God. I mean, you just call me Carolina Jackpot, or you can call me Kale if you'd like to. Like to see some guys over here in the YouTube chat. Wesley Abrams showing up with a flurry of comment, the rash of comments. Jonathan Rivers, Bob Rutherford, Tony Jackson, Chris Rich, James, Steve Hammonds, and Alan V. Troll Patrol. Welcome to the show.
To start the show, Wesley, I don't know Wesley. I haven't seen him in here before,
Wesley,
but he is.
Wesley is a Tennessee volunteer man.
No, he's so not he's a Tennessee volunteer man. He's got a hard on for jackpot, is what he's got.
No, he's in the minority right now. He's like a unicorn or a whatever you call it,
chick with a dick,
Loch Ness monster.
I'm sorry.
Bigfoot.
It does exist. Oh goodness. All right. Well, thank you guys for coming in. We appreciate it. anyway, we won't let the show get off to a horrendous start. Horrendous. Is that a word? It's horrendous, not horrendous.
Horrendous. Who said that?
Horrendous. I said horrendous. Jackpot. You know what, dude? I'm kind of tired. You got to fucking carry the show tonight. I'm just saying. That's just the way it's going to be. All right.
Delta, Mr. Boogie, thank you for joining us. Eric Twyman's here. Good evening, Matt.
We went to the today, before we get into it too much, we went down to Edisto today, and we took the kids down there to the beach and everything. The waves beat us senseless. And then we went to Botany Bay, and we're like, going around in there. It's kind of cool. You can go down there and see the shells and all that. But I made the mistake of letting my daughter like bury me in sand.
Uh-huh.
Parenting tip. Don't let your kids do that shit. Sand goes in places it's not supposed to go.
It's almost
like you're sandblasting your asshole. It's insane.
That's cool for you. I mean, because you live down in the pearl of the state of South Carolina, Columbia. And I mean, you can make a little day trip to the beach. It's only, what, about an hour and a half, 2 hours for you. Right. God dang, it's like four for us. So we can't get that.
The best case for Columbia is you're an hour from where you want to be. If you want to be near the beach, you could be there in about an hour. You want to be in the mountains, you could be there in about an hour and a half.
That's why I call it the pearl of the state of South Carolina, because it's right, the pearl of the oyster is usually located right in the middle of the oyster. And not only it's beautiful, and it's in the middle. So there you go, Columbia.
Well, I like to call it the armpit of South Carolina because it's hotter than hell.
Where I live out up here in the upstate, it's a shithole. I wish it was more. I wish it was more like Columbia. No, I really do. I mean, we got too much suburban sprawl, too many housing developments popping up. And we don't have the infrastructure to handle it. So we've got we're home of like almost a million residents up here in this metro area, and probably are set up for about god dang 300,000. I mean, everywhere you go, there's a traffic jam, there's wrecks everywhere. It's shitty. Well, hey, at least you got a QT on every corner.
Yeah, we're getting some of those down here. They're coming up a little bit. All right. Well, before we get into the gist of the show this evening, let's thank our sponsors, Callaway's Bar and Grill, callawaysbarandgrill.com. They're sponsoring the Pick'em Challenge just like they do every year. The link to enter is in the show description. Go and check that out. Yeah, you can check that out and get yourself entered. It's $20. Lots of folks enter. Lisa, who just entered, who is a patron of the show. Appreciate her. She enters every year. Last year, I think her granddaughter got into it too, and her granddaughter was smarter than the majority of us. But anyway, it's $20, one-time fee, 10 games the first week, 5 games each week after that against the spread, and you can get in. We do our picks on Wednesday night, so it's a great contest, right, Jackpot?
Yeah, you correct that, because on the last podcast you said we pick the games on Wednesday night. We do the pick. We do our picks on Wednesday night, but they can actually start submitting picks. What did we? It was like on Monday, Tuesday after the lines drop, right?
Yeah. Once the lines drop on Monday, I'll put the games up Monday.
Usually drop on Sunday, right?
Right. Well, we pick them out on Sunday.
Right.
And then the first lines, I can put them up on Monday. So there you go with that. That's how it'll work out.
So Lisa's in the contest. I don't know. I haven't.
No. She normally enters. I could pretty much bet that Lisa is going to enter.
Yeah, I know Jackpot
one of those folks that will enter.
Yeah, along with Jackpot Senior. Well, I'm gonna take him out behind the woodshed.
Yeah, Jackpot Senior is a dickhead and is not going to do a damn thing in this contest. I mean,
you're full of shit. You know what's fucked me the past couple of years is that week one. Well, I'm going 10-0.
Oh God! I tell you what, if you go 10-0 week one, we will rename the show the Kale and Rob Show. If you go 10-0, that's a gentleman's bet right there. I will rename the show the Kale and Rob Show. If you go 10-0 week one,
what are we going to rename it if I don't?
Oh, I'm just going to pick at you and be like, your ass said you were going 10-0. You didn't go 10-0. You went fucking 2-8.
I'm not going 2-8. So anyway.
That's a fair wager, right? I mean, you don't have anything to lose. So I'm gonna rash you anyway. So there you go.
Yeah. Okay.
But anyway, it's the Callaway's Pick'em Challenge, callawaysbarandgrill.com. We appreciate Mike and Billy and the fine folks there that support the show. Also,
Delta says, "What's up with the jet shirt?" I got this. Came I bought this. This came from a shop in New York City. I paid $15 of my hard-earned money for this shirt, and Jets are going to do some big things this year. I mean, new offensive line, new quarterback. I'm thinking wild card spot.
Oh, that's not going to work at all. Anyway, make sure you go and visit Callaway's Bar and Grill. If you're in Columbia, especially if you're going to a game in Columbia, they can set up your tailgate. They can do all of that. It's up to my buddy Izzo down there checking out the show. Appreciate him. Anyway, you guys are awesome. Be sure to check out the contest there. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm trying to get a big, huge, stinking pile of money up for that. All right. Also, Dennis Wilson, DNC Trucking and Transport. We are in a group, a Facebook group, Jackpot, that's just supposed to be Clemson versus Georgia fans running their mouth. Right. Dennis got under the skin of some admin so bad today, he went back and deleted 80 comments that Dennis Wilson made. None of them were vulgar. None of that shit. No, I mean, Georgia fans are softer than Charmin. This guy went in and deleted all that stuff. But see, I'm an admin in the group too, so I went back and
that admin. Give him the nickname Pillows.
Yeah. Well, what I'm going to do is when Clemson wins this game, I'm changing the name of the group to Clemson Stomp That Georgia Ass. So anyway, there's going to be that. But Dennis Wilson from,
like, you know, fuck Clemson, but I mean, I ain't doing that.
I'm doing it. All right. Well, Dennis Wilson from DNC Trucking and Transport, Fireside Chats with Uncle Jackpot. Jackpot, read away.
All righty. Sucks to be a Gamecock. We're doing best case, worst case for my Gamecocks tonight. It's generally always the worst case. It's been 2,403 days since my piss poor team beat Clemson on the football field. It sucks to be a Gamecock. Go Tigers.
All right, there you go. Thanks to Dennis Wilson, DNC Trucking and Transport.
Riddle me this. You send me this every time we do a podcast. How come on Wednesday night, which was four nights ago, it was 2,407 days. Now it's 2,403 days. It's like we're going backwards.
It's because I'm a dumb fuck and I just copy one from before and change some stuff. That's why. Hey, just to be honest, you want to put me out there? I was just a dumb fuck and got my shit together late. That's my fault. But yeah, that's why. Anyway, thanks to Dennis for sponsoring the show. Shane says there is no best case for the Cox. for a minute. Anyway, there you go. All right, so Jackpot, we're gonna do best and worst case scenario, and are we gonna go game by game, and is that how you want to do it? I thought that would be the best way to do it. You want to go that route, or what do you want to do?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm gonna keep track of this just so we're all on the same page here. All right. So this is the Jackpot, and I are going to do best case, worst case scenario. So we're going to look at each game and say, all right, if the stars align right, you know, the Gamecocks could win, or the stars don't, the Gamecocks, the Gamecocks could lose. All right. So here we go. Jackpot. We'll start with Eastern Illinois. Now, Eastern Illinois, we're going to try to be, both of us going to try to be as unbiased as we possibly can here.
Okay.
Try to be as real as we can here on this. Okay. But with Eastern Illinois, the only thing that I know about Eastern Illinois that is worthwhile is that Tony Romo went to Eastern Illinois, so they have an actual Pro Football Hall of Famer from their school, which not a lot. There are schools that don't have that. Clemson just got their first one with Brian Dawkins a couple of years ago. So, I mean, they have a Pro Football Hall of Famer. That's the only thing I can really tell you about Eastern Illinois that might be worthwhile. The Gamecocks, I think they just roll the ball out there. They're going to beat the shit out of Eastern Illinois on whatever time that game is. It's what, a 7:30 game? Yeah, it's a 7 o'clock game. They're going to beat the shit out of Eastern Illinois in the first game, regardless of what happens.
Yeah, I mean, Eastern Illinois is not even on the level of the Southern Conference teams. I mean, they're really weak. They just are. That's not trolling.
Well, they didn't even play last year, and the year before they went, I think,
well, they played in the spring.
Yeah, but I mean, but oh, that's true. But they're just not very good.
Okay. So they're going to be worn out off the get go. I mean, they played spring ball.
All right, so we both agree that 1-0 there for the Gamecocks. All right, so we both have them as checked as a win at East Carolina. Now, East Carolina Jackpot. What's your opinion on this game? You got to go up there where they're trying to jack Gamecock fans around about tickets.
Yeah, well, I didn't get jacked any longer. I finally jacked them off. Never mind. That came out wrong.
Go ahead and finish that statement.
I went over there and I jerked a bunch of them off myself. No, a Steve Spurrier thing. You wouldn't know.
I'm going to isolate that clip later on. Oh.
Yeah, I finally got tickets to that, $235 for two after the fees and everything. And we're staying in a motel room the night before at $65, so that should be interesting. You know, looking at this game, it's South Carolina should win. damn it, I can't get it out. East Carolina was 5-4 last year against the spread. Finished out 3-6, though. Played a couple of games competitively that you didn't think they would. Barely, almost knocked off Tulsa. They won the last two games of the year on the road at Temple. Then they won at home against SMU as a 12-point dog. So they got some momentum coming back, and they have 20 starters returning combined offensively and defensively. The left-handed kid, the quarterback, Holton Ahlers, is a guy that has NFL potential and is also someone I could see really giving the Gamecocks some problems. I mean, you know, that secondary is going to be all new, retooled, depleted. I see this game ending up, I mean, I could, a 30-something to 20-something thing is what I'm banking on. And that South Carolina just goes out there and just runs the fuck out of the football and just wears them down. But they do return a lot of starters there. This is probably going to be Mike Houston's best team. We know Mike Houston is a good coach. I mean, he won two or three FCS national championships at James Madison, turned the Citadel's program around too. So
yeah, that's the guy that went into Blacksburg and won at night. There are ACC teams that haven't done that. He took James Madison into Blacksburg and won at night.
No, so, that was before him.
I think that was him. I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, then I'm sorry.
He was coaching Citadel when that happened. But
okay, we'll see.
Anyway, that's semantics. I mean, he's still
is that best case or worst case? Best case they win or not?
Best case, I think that South Carolina wins the game by about 14 points. Wears East Carolina down in the second half. Worst case, Holt Naylors goes out there and throws 400 odd yards, and South Carolina loses the ball game, like in like 40 something to 28 fashion. I mean, and doesn't get the running game established until it's too late. I mean, I think South Carolina wins that one, but it could be tricky.
All right, so I'm going to go with you that I think that South Carolina should win it, and I think best case scenario they will. But you know what? I don't. Under my worst case, I could see them losing this game. Offense wasn't the problem last year for East Carolina, averaged over 400 yards and 30 points a game. Now, if I'm a Gamecock fan and my team doesn't go out there and put up some points on some of these teams here, on this team that is not very good on that side of the ball, I'm going to kind of be upset. This is a game Kevin Harris should be running like crazy, and we should get a look at Marshawn Lloyd, and he should have a couple of breaks, in my opinion. And we're going to have people talking about, oh, we've got a two-headed monster heading into Georgia. That's what the over-the-top Gamecock fans are going to say. But I think that best case, South Carolina wins that game. And I think that they'll win it. It'll probably be like 42-25 or something like that. So I think that's the way it's going to be. South Carolina run to death. And I think that both running backs will have two rushing touchdowns. Both the first and second strings. That's my prediction there. All right. Now, this is just our best case, worst case. I don't think there's a worst case. I think South Carolina's got too much, though. I really do. The next matchup for South Carolina is the Georgia matchup. They go to Georgia. Jackpot, take it away, man. What do you think about that one as far as best case, what could happen, and worst case?
Yeah, I just don't see. I don't see any way that South Carolina wins this game. When South Carolina was able to knock them off a couple of years ago, we did it. I mean, it was basically the defensive backs. McQuamu is the one that won the football game for South Carolina. We don't have that. It's just too tough of an environment to go in. And it's either going to be Georgia is going to lose a close game to Clemson in the opener and going to be really pissed off and ready to make a run at 11 straight wins, or they're going to knock Clemson off and kind of be riding on a high horse. I don't know. Let me look here at my schedule and see. Who they got UAB in week two, so that's that's kind of a weird game there. I mean, you know, I say that should be no problem, but I think UAB's decent, but they'll win. So, defensively, I don't think South Carolina is going to be able to match up. I mean, I think South Carolina can move the ball against them. I think Doty can extend some plays, and I think that we'll have some more success on that side of the ball than we did last year. But I just don't think that we have the Jimmies or the Joes to match up, on the defensive side of the football. So both case scenarios, best case scenario, I think that we keep it close and lose by 10, 14, 17 points, worst case scenario, you get housed.
Blown the fuck out. Yeah. I agree with you on that. I don't like South Carolina secondary at all. I don't have the confidence in the offense that you do. I don't. Georgia's going to come into this game at 1-1 after Clemson beats them in the first game of the season, and Kirby Smart might have their head screwed on right then. I don't know. We shall see. He may be end up playing the fifth string quarterback by then. Who knows? We'll see. But I think that Georgia wins that game, and I think it's going to sting a little bit. So
James Thompson says 45-10. James says 45-17 UGA. That's very possible.
Very possible.
Keep making smart comments like that, James. Make intelligent comments, and you won't get timed out like I did to you there for a minute because you just made a bunch of stupid-ass comments, and I got tired of looking at your shit, so I decided to give you 5 minutes in the corner.
You stand over there in the corner, James Thompson. That's funny. Next matchup is the Kentucky matchup. That game is at home, and here's the big thing with this matchup in my mind. People are going to look at the matchup last year from Kentucky and think, oh, wow, Kentucky's going to, you know, hammer South Carolina, and I don't think it's going to be that way. I really don't. I think this is going to be one of those grinded-out games, but I still think Kentucky gets the win, but it's going to be like 23-20, something like that. It's not going to be where it's not going to be like last season where, you know, Kentucky runs all over in the second half against a team that didn't want to be there. But I think that best case scenario, South Carolina, yeah, they didn't want to fucking be there.
No, they were done. They couldn't wait to get back home and pack up the equipment, clean their lockers out, and start over. I think, Shane got hired actually like during the Kentucky game, or was that night, like that was announced? Yeah.
Something like that. But, I mean, this is a big game for both teams because Kentucky's trying to ratchet themselves to a point where, look, their mindset, we had a Kentucky fan or Kentucky guy on the show a couple weeks ago. Their mindset is they're a better football program than South Carolina. I didn't say it. He did. They're trying to make sure that they cement that they're just a better program. I think this could be the feather for Shane Beamer in his first season. If he gets this, then, you know, that's something you can kind of build on a little bit. I mean, I really believe that. So I think best case, the Gamecocks win by 3. Worst case, Kentucky gets some late scores and they lose by 14.
I kind of tend to agree with you there. I pegged this. I haven't done my official prediction video for the Gamecocks, so I don't want to spoil things, but.
Right.
You know, that the game last year, that was a total farce, which, I mean, I think Kentucky was better than their record indicated last year. I mean, they did win their bowl game against a pretty good NC State team. There's that. I mean, I think they were better than how they ended up performing in some of the games, but I'm not banking on that was the real Gamecocks. Worst case scenario, I see a game unfold kind of like the one we saw in, 2017 when South Carolina had went out to Mizzou and won in week two, and then they come back and get housed at home by Kentucky.
That was the game that Debo Samuel got hurt too, right? Didn't he mess up his foot like in the very first part of that game? So there's that. Anyway, let me answer Izzo's question here. He says, does Kentucky have a decent offense this season? No, they got some running backs and they got an offensive lineman that they're talking about. It's going to be highly thought of, but the reality is that they don't have a quarterback. They seriously, you could take me, Jackpot, my wife's sitting over there. She'd have just as much consistency as whatever idiot they put under center. Kentucky is terrible under center. And until they fix that, they're going to be a mediocre-ass football team. Let's move on to Troy. Best case, worst case, the Gamecocks aren't losing to fucking Troy. I mean, it's not happening.
Well,
I mean, I looked at the stuff on Troy, and they don't impress me.
Well, not so fast, Rob. I mean, you know, they, you know, Troy played Coastal Carolina last year tougher than anybody. In fact, almost beat them in the last regular season game. They finished up 5-6, returning 18 starters. This will be they kind of went through a little bit of a learning curve there with this new head coach that they've got. I believe his name is Chip Lindsey, Tater Chip, they called him, his nickname. after I think it was what's his name, Neil Brown went to West Virginia. So I don't know. I mean, this is worrisome to me. And you shouldn't be saying any Power Five team in the Southeastern Conference, you shouldn't say this is worrisome. But they've been known to pull off upsets before. They've been known to pull off near upsets before and lose with the help of some bad officiating in the past. Don't know what we're talking about there.
I'm not even getting into that with you this evening.
Yeah,
sir.
Worst case scenario is that they drop this game like 24-21, 28-24, something like that. A big upset. Best case, they win the game 35-10. Defensively, should be able to shut this team down. But just look at what they got coming back. I mean, they're solid. Not a bad team.
I think South Carolina will have too much up front for them, and I really think the offense is going to be they're going to keep it very simple and run, and they're going to make Doty make simple throws until they can figure out who the hell is going to catch footballs for them.
I think make hide or hair of their 2020 results in the Phil Steele magazine, if anybody's got it. According to Phil Steele, last year's results, it looks like they played Middle Tennessee twice last year, played them at home and played them away. And they also, in the second from last game of the season, they played at South Carolina as a 4-point favorite and won 29-0. I think that's supposed to be South Alabama.
Oh. I was about to hit him with the soundbite. I was like, no, I don't know about all that. Anyway, the next matchup is at Tennessee. And, you know, there's a lot of folks that are on the – they're whispering about, you know, Tennessee might still be okay. Tennessee might still be okay. First of all, you know what? We don't really know what sanctions are coming for Tennessee. We don't – we have no clue. Here's what we do know about Tennessee. There's a couple of things that are said, you know, facts here. One, they had a quarterback that had to go to Liberty to look for Jesus. He had to transfer out of Tennessee to go to Liberty to look for Jesus. Their punter thought it was better to leave the program and go to Memphis and punt than to finish out his senior year at Tennessee. So, hey, I'd rather go to Memphis where I might get shot while I'm punting. That's a better option than punting at Tennessee. The other thing, too, their athletic director is a liar. He lied in the very first press conference he had, saying that he only interviewed Josh Heupel for the job, when in all actuality, he was begging Tony Elliott to come and take the job. But Tony Elliott said, I don't want to go to that orange shithole. And that's a fact. So we know all of that. We know they had 25 players, scholarship players, that left the program. South Carolina is going to win this football game. Best case, worst case, don't give a shit. I'll be surprised if Tennessee wins two conference games this year, but one of them is not going to be South Carolina. So,
yeah. Jackpot, my official prediction video for them that I did about a month ago, if you want to, you know, click my link, the Carolina Jackpot channel, and go check that one out. I actually have them losing and going 1-7 in conference, and the actual only win coming at home against Kentucky, an upset. I actually have them losing to Vanderbilt And I'm not trolling there, and I'm not being ugly. We have a lot of Vol fans who watch the show and subscribe to the channel, and I appreciate that. But, I mean, you lost a lot. You lost a ton of players, like 25 players in the transfer protocol. And last year's team, I mean, you wasn't even good. You won three games, and to me, underachieved big time. Big time underachieved. That should have been a 6-7-win football team with all the talent that you had on both sides of the ball. No excuse for that pitiful record last year. If Jeremy Pruitt didn't get fired for stuffing the cash in Mickey D's bags, he should have got fired for that shit. Because that was just that what they really did was a lot better than that. But yeah, best case scenario, yes, South Carolina goes on the road to Knoxville and gets the win, and they should. Our record in Knoxville has been horrible over the years. South Carolina's lost winnable games there in 2013. You had the Steve Spurrier thing where he didn't know how many timeouts you had. He didn't know. I don't know what the hell. I guess he was drunk on the sideline. As he has been before.
He was on the jackpot drinking plan on the sideline.
Yeah. 2015, we go up there with, a terrible team after he had quit and almost beat them. That was when Jarrell Adams, the tight end, couldn't get his fucking ass down on the last play of the game. And he just, keeps fighting and fighting and fighting. And finally, they just stripped the damn ball from him. 2017, we go up there, we play them as a terrible team. We have to come from behind to beat them like 13-9 or something. It's an ugly game. And then in 2019, South Carolina goes up with a better team, one that had beaten Georgia a couple weeks before, and they ride a punt return and an interception return for a touchdown to like a 41-21 win that never should have happened. That was the game where Brian Edwards made one of the most beautiful catches that I've ever seen in my life right there at the end of the first half, a one-hand grab falling out of the sideline at the end zone for a touchdown, and we waste all that. Just horrible.
Brian Edwards is a hell of a tight end, man. He was great.
He was a wide receiver, wasn't a tight end, but, yeah, he was good tight end, too.
The joke is that he was a tight end playing wide receiver anyway.
Oh, he was a safety. He would have been a safety at Clemson.
Exactly.
But all right. Worst case, I mean, I think we lose. We're not that much more talented than anybody on the roster or anybody on the team that we play. So, give me a loss. I mean, because we haven't played well there over the years. So it's still, you say it's not a losable game. I think it is.
I maybe I have more confidence than you do. I don't know. Up next is the Vanderbilt matchup.
Okay. I want to address this. Ball State is over crying in the comment section. He said, all y'all do is spit on Tennessee. No, it's not. What did I say?
You were more kind than I was. I
said last year's team underachieved big time.
I mean, if you want people to take Tennessee seriously, here's a thought. Write to your administration and tell them don't give people money in McDonald's bags. Don't do that. And when you're the athletic director, don't lie to the press. Let's start with that. Let's do some things like that, and people will take you seriously. That's the best way to go, man. You know, it's not like we wish doom and gloom on your team. You're an SEC team.
Clemson. I mean, shit. I mean.
Anyway, with that, let's move on. Vanderbilt, the next matchup. Smart kids. Jackpot. Does Vanderbilt have a chance to win this game in Columbia?
I mean, Vanderbilt, another team. They're getting taken lightly a lot. I mean, people are just penciling that in as a win for everybody because it's Vanderbilt. But if you remember, last year they were 0-10. I understand that. But that was an outlier. They were 0-9. I'm sorry. They couldn't play the game against Georgia. I think it was. I think they canceled it because of COVID. They probably just canceled it because they sucked. But, the year before that, I mean, they had knocked off Missouri and Kentucky in back-to-back weeks when they weren't supposed to. You know, they've made bowls under Derek Mason when they weren't supposed to. And James Franklin actually had, a top 25 team in Vanderbilt. So, Yeah, I'm not as down on them as a lot of people. They return, looks like about 17 starters and a quarterback, Ken Seals, who kind of came into his own a little bit last year, playing pretty good. He's got his top two receivers coming back. I mean, everybody on the offensive line comes back, and they've got a ton of guys coming back on defense, and they hired a defensive-minded coach, which they had last year. But, you know, some new life breathing into the program. They got a manageable schedule before they play South Carolina. Well, they do play Georgia and Florida, so I got to scratch that. Those are probably two big losses. But I don't know. I look at that third game of the season at home against Stanford. I think that Vanderbilt has a legitimate chance to upset them. I really do. I'm not that high on Stanford. But at any rate, best case scenario, Vanderbilt limps into this game, off of a 3-week stretch where they play 2 out of 3 games against Georgia and Florida, and South Carolina beats them by 4 touchdowns. Worst case scenario, they get upset by Vanderbilt for the first time since 2008.
It's been a while.
That happens sometime.
Next matchup, Gamecocks go on the road to Texas A&M. South Carolina has never beaten Texas A&M. There's been some games that the Gamecocks should have won. I mean, I can think of at least, 2 matchups with Texas A&M that you could make an argument that the Gamecocks should have picked up a win. But they have not gotten the win over the Aggies. They play at Texas A&M this season. I'm not as high on Texas A&M as everybody else is, but that's right, Delta. They play for the Bonham Trophy. But, I tried to see if I could manipulate a way in my brain to think that this could, in best case scenario, the Gamecocks could pick up a win. I just don't feel it. I just don't. I think that Texas A&M is going to run the ball a good bit, and they should be able to control the line of scrimmage. So best case, South Carolina loses by 8-10. Worst case, they lose by 15-20. What do you think, Jackpot?
Just before we get on that one, first of all, hold on. Got to get him out of here again. Damn it. What is wrong with this?
Who are we getting out of here?
James Thompson, I had to time you out again. So he told Ziggy to shut up. Look here. Nobody tells him to shut up but me. All right, fucker. So there's that. Also, I got to address stuff while we're there. Aaron Brown on the YouTube says, I'm loving everybody trashing on Tennessee. We're going to surprise people. I mean, okay. Whatever. I mean, I don't get it. I mean, you didn't have that much talent coming back.
Wait a minute.
It hit the transfer portal.
Jackpot, hold on. Just for a minute here. You muted a guy for telling your dog to shut up. Is that what you're telling?
Yes.
Some funny shit, Jackpot. Chris wants me to do some kind of bet with him with what did you do? You do eggs and milk or something? You like dumped a gallon of milk on your head or something?
Yeah, you remember that? That was the bet with BVD where I cracked a dozen eggs over my head and then poured a gallon of milk over it. That's a great video.
It is a great video. I might entertain that. We shall see, Chris. Get back with me on that. We'll message me on Twitter and we'll
hope you like some dairy products, because if you don't,
I'd probably make me silly. I don't know. Anyway,
the next
matchup on that schedule is Texas A&M. Is there the opportunity for South Carolina to get an upset at Texas A&M, Jackpot?
I think so. I mean, they don't scare me. I mean, they really don't.
You've never beat them, Jackpot.
What?
You've never beat them, Jackpot.
Okay. They don't scare me. Just like you had alluded to earlier, there's several games, several times that South Carolina should have beaten them. and we didn't. If you remember 2015, they were ranked, and South Carolina took the team in there, quarterback by the Orthnado. And South Carolina came close to pulling the upset there. 2017, we shit the bed. Should have won there, lost 24-17. 2018, I think, was the game where Jake Bentley got mad, beat his helmet on the damn thing there. We lost 26-23. That was a bad one. Last year was a blowout, 48-3. Now, refresh my memory. Now, was Shithead coaching the team at this point, or –
Shithead.
Well, they're both shitheads. So
they're both shitheads. Oh, wait. Here's your thoughts. We found your thoughts on Will Muschamp. Can I play your thoughts on Will Muschamp?
Yes.
Yeah, here we go.
I'm not going to dignify fat ass with telling people how he stabbed me in the back when we were supposed to be friends. Fuck him and also fuck him.
Fuck him.
CBOF over on YouTube says, I just saw the schedule. Shit, I don't see more than 3 wins. That's ridiculous. I mean, there are beatable teams on the schedule. South Carolina has some talent. I mean, despite Will Muschamp being an abject failure, it was an abject failure.
You know what? Every time you mention Will Muschamp,
I'm not going to dignify fat ass with telling people how he stabbed me in the back when we were supposed to be friends. Fuck him, and also
he did
exactly.
What he was a horrible game day coach. That was the problem. He was a horrible game day coach who had horrible assistants working underneath him. He left some talent in Columbia. If you you know, he had 2 5 stars on his roster on the defense in Columbia. I don't know what else I can say. There are a lot of pieces there, and everybody's just shitting on South Carolina left and right. They got the SEC's goddamn returning leading rusher coming back. They got another high 4-star that we've never even seen touch the damn field coming back on that side of the ball, too. But everybody wants to shit on us. Oh, I don't see more than 3 wins there. Have you seen some of the fucking teams we play? Goddamn.
I don't understand why we're supposed to think Tennessee's going to be great and they lost 25 scholarship players. We're supposed to think they're going to be just fine. But South Carolina's
we've got 2 5 stars on the defensive line who have yet to break out of their shell and show everybody exactly what the fuck they can do. We got a damn quarterback who can extend plays whose damn ranking of 120 on that Pro Football Fuck Us was just a bunch of damn bullshit. That son of a bitch can extend some plays. He's fixing to make some noise. He's an athlete. We got the best goddamn running back in the league. Okay, so, yeah. we can't beat a shit show who lost 25 players to the fucking transfer protocol and was stuffing cash in the damn Mickey D's bag. No, that not happening.
That's we'll move on.
Texas A&M doesn't even have a damn quarterback. Can you name a superstar on their team other than their running back who is not
good?
Harris? No. Who can you name besides him on their team? I can't.
Their coach has a big Texas belt buckle. I mean, that you got to have one of those there. Moving on. So the next matchup is Florida in Columbia. You know what? I don't like Dan Mullen at all. I know Georgia fans. There's some Georgia fans that don't like me. Dan Mullen can suck an entire bag of dicks. That every time he does a press conference, I'm just like, oh my God, please just resign. I cannot stand Dan Mullen. So I was thinking when we were riding back on the trip today, how can South Carolina beat Florida? And I could put over there on this set of, you know what, in the best case scenario, South Carolina gets the win over them. So here's what I'm putting. This is one of my best case scenarios that South Carolina could win. And here's how I'm going to do it. South Carolina is going to run the motherfucking ball a lot. I'm talking about a lot. Kevin Harris is going to have 25 carries. And then, in addition to that,
Marshawn Lloyd is going to have 15 carries. So between the two of them, in my best case scenario, they're going to have 40 carries for 300 yards. And they're going to control the game on the ground. And Luke Doty's going to rush for about 80 yards and throw for about 100 yards. And South Carolina, best case scenario, wins 23-20. There you go with that. They're just going to control the game just like that, best case scenario. And I give you that because I can't stand Dan Mullen. He is, God, he annoys the shit out of me. So the Gamecocks are probably going to lose by 10. Worst case scenario, you get blown out by 17. But best case, you lose by you win by 3. There you go, Jackpot. What do you got?
Well, I mean, everybody talks about the Oklahoma game last year in the Cotton Bowl. And, well, Florida didn't care. Well, Florida didn't want to be there. Newsflash, that's your 2021 team. That's what you had out there on the field. Oklahoma's still scoring. I'm not impressed with them. I picked them to finish third in the SEC East. And I think if Kentucky is as advertised, they can finish fourth. I'm just not. They have lost so much talent on both sides of the football. Yeah, can they out-athlete South Carolina and most of these other teams in the SEC East? Yes, but like you said, Mullen to me, it's not. He's a decent game day coach. There's just something about that guy that irks the shit out of me. I don't think he even wants to be.
Dude, it's Florida. It's like nails on a chalkboard. Oh my goodness, he makes me like I when I cut up updates or whatever for my sports cast that I do, and I have something from Dan Mullen that I try to put into my stuff. It's literally I have to jack myself up to get me to a point where okay, I can use this Dan Mullen clip. He is God, he annoys the shit out of me. Let's move on because I don't even want to talk about Florida anymore.
Well, you got giving me my chance to talk about.
I apologize. Go ahead.
Best case scenario, I think I've already predicted South Carolina to pull the upset in that game. I think we win. They're not giving them a chance for that. This Emory Jones at quarterback. I don't know. I don't like him. I think Florida's a team that. I mean, if they're going to win, they're going to win with a pro style passing attack. Like you saw last year from Trask, Felipe Franks was a kid that could have been a decent quarterback, in my opinion. He had a big arm and that, but I mean, he threw the wrong color jersey too many times, cost him a little bit there. I don't see them with a runaround quarterback who can extend plays, that them being able to win a lot of meaningful games under him. Worst case scenario, they do get out-athleted and lose by 17-21 points. So,
all right. Well, there you go. Let's go up, and the next matchup is in Como against Mizzou. I don't think Mizzou is – Mizzou lost the linebacker they lost
Nick
last year.
Bolton.
Nick Bolton was a good linebacker for them.
They also lost
Larry Roundtree III. So I like Basilak, and I like their kicker. But I think that Mizzou should win. It might be cold up there in November. You never know. There's that. Philly fan, by the way, says, glad to see us back in action. If I haven't seen these on YouTube as often, is it okay to be a cat dad? What? I have a cat. There's one cat right there. There's Luna Cat. She'll be coming to sit with me in a moment. NASA Cat's over there. He likes to sit next to my wife's butt. We refer to him as the butt cat. And then Harambe Cat, the jewel of the world as far as cats go, is over there looking at me like, please don't come touch me. So, yeah, you can be a cat daddy. It's all right.
I want to address a couple of things here. But first off, did you see the Twitter thing I retweeted today? Maybe you didn't. I tweeted it at Uncle Lou. I guess it was after a practice or something in the indoor facility there at the dump in Gainesville with Dan Mullen out there with his team. and he's surrounded. I mean, it's just funny because they're, you know, with their headphones on, just kind of sitting back here rapping a little bit. And it's him, you know, with like 20 black dudes around him. And he just starts like snapping his fingers and twirling around like he's trying to be all fucking hip and shit. And it's just like the most damn embarrassing thing.
Oh, ever. Here.
Yeah. What
the hell is the fuck
I,
is
I
that?
I to start doing this. Clown. Also, over on YouTube, too, I pinned this one, too, because I wanted to come back to it. Aaron Brown, obviously a Voltard with the Tennessee logo there. Your quarterback can't throw a pass. South Carolina is basically Kentucky on offense. He can throw a pass. They just don't go very far, and they often go to the wrong colored jersey, sir. So there's that.
All right. Well, do you have any where I don't want to I want to make sure I gave you we were talking about Mizzou. I think that best case, South Carolina could win by 3 points. Worst case, Bazelak throws all over the secondary and you lose by 14. What do you think, Jackpot?
Yeah, I'm with that. I mean, I think, you know, just winning there would be hard. South Carolina's only won in – South Carolina's won at Missouri one time since they've been in the SEC, and ironically, it was against Missouri's best team that we played against, which would have been back in 2013, I think. You remember that was the double overtime game where Connor Shaw threw the winning touchdown pass to Bruce Ellington on like 4th and 13 or something. So that was a hell of a game. They were ranked like number 4 or 5 in the country at the time. It's not a good venue for South Carolina. It hasn't been a good place for us to play. I'm sorry. We also beat them in 2017. That was when Samuel took the opening kickoff back. My bad. It's still they have underperformed there at times. You know, best case scenario, I do think South Carolina goes out. Maybe Missouri's beat up by that point in the season, injured a little bit. Maybe, you know, we knock them off. I think it's going to be an upset if we do by a touchdown or so. You know, worst case scenario, I see South Carolina losing by several scores. Maybe we're beat up. Maybe we're injured. That's the key thing by this point in the season. South Carolina's got to be able to field 90% of a team. We cannot have all these injuries that we've had during the Will Muschamp era. I mean, it was horrible. It didn't matter. We had a couple of different strength and conditioning coaches, and neither time it seemed to make a difference. I mean, South Carolina just seemed to be the most beat up, injured team in college football. And that is one thing. You know, besides a culture change, that is one thing that I hope has changed under Shane Beamer. We started to turn the corner on the injuries.
You can't really help injuries. I mean, you don't know how shit's going to happen. We were talking about Kentucky earlier. The last time Kentucky won at Williams-Brice, that, you know, Debo Samuel broke his damn foot, and nobody knew that shit was going to happen. I mean, He was having a good game, and if he would have finished that game, South Carolina probably would have had a better chance to win that game. But
yeah, so Randall says, how many fans can South Carolina Stadium hold, Jackpot? Which is was it 82?
It's almost 82,000.
Yeah, I
think it's close to that, give or take.
It's a little bit smaller than the shithole in Pickens County.
Mr. Boogie says, didn't help practicing on Sundays after a game day.
True.
Anytime we utter the words, you know, we got the words for that. We got this clip. We're not going to do that right now. The next game is Auburn. You know, the Gamecocks won last year over Auburn. You know, that was.
I had to laugh. Troy Jeffcoat says, Randall, 80,000 started the game, 20,000 after half.
Fuck me. The Auburn matchup. You know, they got the new they brought in Coach Harsin, you know, and we talked about this before. He was supposed to be bringing the winning ways from the Mountain West. And we were supposed to see a new Auburn. And this Auburn team was supposed to be, you know, that some of the excellence they had at Boise State on that ugly-ass blue turf up there. They were trying to bring that down to Auburn. And what do? They get a bunch of fucking idiot retreads to come in there as assistants. So, best-case scenario, at home, South Carolina wins by 10 points and shoves it up Mike Bobo's ass. Worst-case, Gamecocks lose by 10 points. And Mike Bobo laughs his way right on out of the fucking stadium. What do you think, Jack?
I'm there with you on that. This is another team that, I mean, we really don't know what to expect. I think Bo Nix has underachieved at Auburn during his time there. So, you know, Harsin and his teams, they were offensive oriented, playing out there in the Mountain West. So, you know, maybe we see a different Bo Nix. I don't know. I mean, Aaron Brown over there, the pinned comments you have there, if Bo Nix is playing South Carolina can win. Yeah, I don't want to see the Finley kid. I don't want to see any more of him. Yeah,
I don't want to see any more of that Finley kid. Woo-wee, no.
Yeah, he was an average quarterback who looked like a superstar.
Sometimes I have a weird memory, okay? I remember last year, I'm pretty sure it was you, sent me a text message, and it may have been the comrade. It was one or you other. You were the comrade that messaged me, and the message during the LSU game was, who in the fuck is this Finley kid? Oh, man, he had a Kenny Hill-type game against South Carolina in that matchup. Old school folks will get that.
Well, we seem to be very inviting for that kind of shit to happen. So,
all right. So there's our best case and worst case there. The following game is at home with Clemson. You got to give Shane Beamer credit for not mentioning Clemson's name in the when he's at SEC Media Days. He made the comment, and I'm paraphrasing here, but it's basically, I was here when we won at Tennessee and we won at Florida and we beat Alabama and we beat our in-state rival. Shane Beamer, sir, I have a lot of respect for you as a coach, but you will say the Clemson name. They're going to beat that into you. You are not where Clemson is right now, and you're going to have to learn a little bit. I understand all that, but.
Man, I saw it. I saw their little all-in, their little cookout the other week. They picked up a commitment from somebody, some kid, last name Saab. I wonder if he's as shitty of a football player as that damn car is. I don't know. Another one, you know, I mean, you know, it's every year. I mean, we play them every year, you know, but the hatred is mutual. Clemson doesn't scare me, or you know, it shouldn't scare any of the other. They should be excited and get up for this game. Hopefully, this won't be like the 2019 South Carolina Clemson game, which was basically just, I mean, it was a death march. If you watch my video before that game, that was some gold on YouTube. It's like, I knew that we were getting bent over, and you know, just how bad is it going to be? Worst case, you know, you lose by 5 touchdowns at home. The ukulele man throws the ball all over the field, you let him run it a little bit too. Which he's not, and that's another thing. That's another thing, too, when you get off another tangent, because I know we're going to do a best-case, worst-case scenario for those fuckers as well. But if he gets injured.
Easy.
What?
Easy.
If he gets injured, that's, you know, that's a huge monkey wrench thrown into things there, because, I don't think that the rest of that team, they're good, very talented. Obviously, I don't know that they're good enough to carry him without a quarterback that's competent. And I know the Tyson, he was injured. I don't know how he's coming along, but I don't think he has enough experience there to really be able to lead them into battle. But so, worst case scenario, Clemson comes in rolling, hitting on all cylinders. South Carolina comes in, beat up, you know, won three games, some injuries, key positions, and you lose by five, six touchdowns. And your best case scenario, I don't know. I mean, I that's just a totally different dynamic. They're not going to win either way. And I can't see South Carolina coming in doing what they did in 2018 because we don't have it's a totally different system. You're not putting up 600 yards of offense, you know, against them because it's going to be a more run heavy team. But, you know, best case scenario, I think, you know, you stay competitive and take it into the fourth quarter and lose by 10 points.
My best case is South Carolina loses by 17, and then worst case, you lose by 35. No, all right, so with that,
you're not that good.
With that, so in my best case scenario, I've got you with wins over Eastern Illinois, ECU, Tennessee, and what was the other one? Oh, and a best case with Florida and Auburn. So that gives you what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. What? 6 wins? 7 wins? What do you got, Jackpot, as best case?
Best case scenario for the Gamecocks. Sorry, let me pull out my handy dandy schedule here. They win against Eastern Illinois, East Carolina, Kentucky, Troy, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, at Texas A&M, Florida, Mizzou, and Auburn. 10-2, best case scenario, best case. I'm going on record. Do I think it's going to happen? No, I don't. What's the percent chance I think that could happen? I don't know, 2. But, I mean, it is doable. It's doable. Yeah,
worst case, I've got you at 2-10. That's like wheels fall off. Doty gets hurt. Harris gets hurt. Beamer decides he wants to go coach at Virginia Tech. I mean, all the shit has to completely fall off the rails. But
worst case, 1-11, because Troy and East Carolina are both losing. They're losable games. They really are.
All right, we'll take calls now, 803-470-2905. You want to get a call with your best case.
Jack and Johnson, 5-7. Suck it up, Jack. What do I need to suck up? I mean, I have definitely said that is very possible. I think South Carolina ends up with either 5 or 6 wins. I think that's around where they land. But it's not totally possible in either one of those scenarios that I just hashed out couldn't happen.
All right, 803-470-2905, 803-470-2905. There's the number. It's bouncing on the screen down there below you if you would like to join the program. 803-470-2905.
Screenshot the comment from Tater Lord John. Troy will beat South Carolina. Book it. Okay, let's book that. Just because the referees helped you cheat to beat them 5 years ago doesn't mean,
Wesley Abrams, thank you for the super chat, Wes. What you think about Bama quarterback becoming a millionaire and how it affects recruiting? You know, we've kind of talked about that. It's turning into a shit show.
Did you see where the LSU, Miles Brennan, he got a new pickup truck from that Ford dealership there in Baton Rouge?
Yeah. Like, let's just be honest. This shit was happening before. Now it's just, you know, a little more easier to go about. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I wanted to throw one out there too. Did y'all see about the Clemson player that got charged with the reckless driving?
I did. I was going to talk about that today. Fred Davis, defensive back for Clemson, had an incident on July 21st where he apparently was driving 115 miles an hour in a 55. So he was going double the speed limit in a 55 zone, basically hit a postal worker, and the postal worker was seriously injured.
is according to the report, seriously injured the postal worker. And the statement from Clemson was, it just came off as slimy. It was, you know, he is still part of the program. Mm. So, you know,
God. Yeah.
Is it, you don't want to hear that.
Is it more of a crime when you hit a mail carrier than if you hit, like, say, the Budweiser guy?
I don't know. I don't know how that works, to be completely honest. But I wish I can give you an educated answer on that. Izzo says,
do you think that the police officer who responded will get fired?
I thought we were trying to be realistic here, sir. I'm going to draw a line down the center of your head so it looks like an ass. That's what you're acting like. Anyway. No, I don't know why he didn't turn himself in. That's a good question, Izzo.
Well, he did.
No, but I mean, he turned himself in 10 days later.
Oh, okay.
It's like, hey, I'm gonna go run into the postal worker and then wait 10 days and then go turn myself in.
Well, I mean, he's lucky he didn't kill himself and the postal worker. I mean, or multiple individuals. I mean,
we don't know the complete story of what happened. We can go by the police report, but in my opinion, I think that he should be. I live in the land of you should get a second opportunity, but I don't think until this matter is cleared up that he should put on a Clemson uniform again. Until they can figure out the ins and outs of it, I don't think he should put on a Clemson uniform again. Now, if he wants to transfer, I'm sure the Georgia football program will be happy to get him over there, and they will pay to get his record expunged, just like they did with Darion Kendrick, because that's what Georgia does. So if he wants to play this year, I recommend that you transfer, because Georgia, I'm sure, will take
Darion it. Darion Kendrick got – he's the arrest for having a little bit of the ganja.
He had that and a gun sitting in his lap, you know? And Davis was a guy that I think was going to score.
He really wasn't doing anything with said gun, so.
Yeah, but jackpot. He wasn't licensed to have the damn gun.
He might have just bought it for his collection.
Fuck the laws. We don't need any of them laws. Fuck them. You know, stinking laws. Hell out of here. 803-470-2905. Thank you, Wesley, for the super chat. We appreciate you.
Gotta get hot about it.
Izzo's hot tonight on this. Oh, Georgia arrests their own at an alarming rate down there.
I was trying to defend one of your former tater shit fucktards.
That was some backhanded shit there. Damn, that's some backhanded shit. All right, well, if you want to call the program, final call for calls, 803-470.
What is this battle, these fisticuffs going on over here in the comment section? Jeffrey Gooch says, oh, thank you, because that's what I am in dumbass grammar school, you fool. So thanks for calling it Mr. Coat. I'm mean cock.
What? What the hell is that? Someone explain this to me. Please, you know what? I don't even know who to blame on that.
Are you a little intoxicated, sir?
All right, have a drink or two, sit at home, watch the show. We don't have a problem with all that. I mean, you know, Jackpot's drinking Mountain Dew tonight, but you know, we have our nights, we have a beer or two. Shit. Anyway. So we'll figure out what goes on with Fred Davis. The statement from Clemson, though, was just kind of made you cringe.
No call tonight from Beg and Megan. He must be back in the swamp restoring some power again.
Yeah, he had a comment earlier, like he put up here way earlier. It was like, best case is South Carolina goes 6 wins or something. Worst case, Will Muschamp leads Georgia to a national title.
I'm not going to dignify fat ass with telling people how he stabbed me in the back when we were supposed to be friends. Fuck him.
He and I were corresponding. He is going to, he's going to call into Road Rage on the Clemson channel. At some point in the next week, he he's got the link and he's listened to it a couple of times, and now he's going to determine when he wants to call in and own Walt. So I'm going to try to get that, isolate that clip, and I'll post that up on Jackpot's channel if that does indeed happen, because that should be very entertaining.
Beggett, Megan, and I go back and forth on stuff, but he's called my radio show, and I've let him, you know, have his due. He did say I had to dump him because he used some profanity, but you know that he knew he was wrong on that.
Well,
front.
We know that's okay in Walt's case because you know I told you he let somebody or him or his damn producer or whatever she is assistant let one slip through. And remember, 15 seconds later, he's like, did she just say what I thought she said, Ramona?
Well, I tell you what, that's some funny stuff. Look, I'll give you my – how about a little radio story before we get out of here, Jackpot?
Yeah, Johnson said free. Jackpot blows Uncle Lou. Yes, I do. I mean, he enjoyed it too. Thanks. Yeah. I take my dentures out for it.
Jesus. Let me give you a little radio story here, Jackpot, before we leave the program. Yeah, so one of the first jobs I had in radio, I was working with my friend Kevin, Kevin Cohen here in Columbia, and I was producing his show behind the scenes, right? Now, this was back when Rush Limbaugh was doing, got caught with pain relievers and all that shit. And Kevin used, we were set up in a studio where I'm in one room and Kevin's in another room. And I'm listening to the calls and we're supposed to interact back and forth, et cetera. So this guy calls and I take his call and I pushed him through to Kevin. And I tell Kevin, hey man, you know, this is he wants to sound off on what Rush Limbaugh did, blah, 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 blah. So Kevin takes the call. Now, generally, Kevin is the way that he's set up is he's always got his back to me and he's playing Minesweeper when he's taking calls. It's just the way some radio guys do their shit. I don't know. Kevin did that. So this guy gets on the air, and I've been working about maybe a week there, okay? So Kevin and I really didn't have a great rapport yet. But this guy starts in, and he's like, you know, Rush Limbaugh was on these painkillers, and he went about 90 seconds saying, and painkillers can do a lot of things for you. And you know what, Kevin? I just have to ask you one question, sir. And Kevin's playing Minesweeper and then goes back and, what's that, buddy? He goes, tell me how I can get some of that fat Jew ass. Now, of course, I go to delete it and dump out of it, but I didn't have the delay up. So that made the air this guy trying to molest my Jewish co-host. So sometimes that happens. It was not good at all.
Brandon Coon.
Not good at all.
YouTube says, I got a question, Jackpot. Do you think Cam Smith and Caron Prunty will be the starting corners this year? That's what I think. We're very thin at cornerback. Those are the only two we got with these. Yes. Sure. And that's scary. I mean, yeah, we're thin back there. And that's definitely the back seven is going to be a weakness of the team. But Prunty, I mean, all freshman player out in the Big 12 playing at Kansas. I mean, when you're playing against guys like Sam Ellinger, you're playing Spencer Rattler, you know, you're playing the Texas Tech quarterback and the Baylor quarterback. These guys are throwing it all over the ballpark.
Sorry. I'm not laughing at you, Jackpot. I'm not laughing at you. But you please read this. Read this pinned post, sir. God, can you read that?
Yes. Con off miss. Couple words there, Jeff Coat. I think that's one word. You just said that you nutsack. What a douche canoe. Should off put my beer down before texting last text. I mean, I understood every word of that. I don't know about you. I mean, it's pretty clear.
God. Jackpot, I don't speak that dialect. You're gonna have to help me with this, sir. I can't. I just
that's
can't,
a
right?
That's a mix between I don't know, mush mouth from Fat Albert and Edward Ron.
Jeff,
Stop drinking and texting the show. The next call. LOL. It's awesome. How lovely. I got to love it.
Andre Green says, oh. I don't want to play Bama every year. Sir, who does? Maybe Auburn, because they hate each other. But here's a question for you, Rob. Big Rob question. What's your from Joshua Herring. obviously, Clemson fan. He's got that ugly paw over there for Avatar. What's your expectations on Clemson's running game this season? What do you think?
Well, I don't think it's not going to be as good as it was in the past. I do think that, you know, they lose the Swiss Army knife that they had in Travis Etienne. I'm not too sure on the offensive line. I think Bokhorst is okay. You know, they lost the young man that ended up getting drafted in the second round that's going to be protecting Joe Burrow's backside this year. Jackson Carman, who basically told Ohio State to go piss on a rope and came to Clemson. But
and he got an ass beat for it in his last game anyway.
Well, it doesn't matter. He took home a national championship ring, so there's that. Anyway, so with that, I think that the running game for Clemson will take a step back. Lynn J. Dixon is great. Now, I know Clemson fans are going to be like, well, what about Will Shipley? You know, this guy's supposed to be the next. They're calling him the next Christian McCaffrey. He hasn't taken a fucking snap yet. Let's slow down a little bit. He is a freshman, ladies and gentlemen. Clemson doesn't have the proven side yet, as far as with their wide receivers in Justin Ross. After Justin Ross. You got guys that, you know, have potential, but until you prove it, I'm not buying it. If Clemson had better receivers.
It would be interesting to see. I've never seen. And that's always the joke. That was always the joke on the Uncle Lou channel talking about when South Carolina plays Georgia. He's like, it'll be pathetic. It'll be sad. We'll be playing the white guy running the ball in the middle of the fourth quarter. They'll be pulling players out of the stands to play. Who's the last great? I can't remember, though, the last great Clemson white boy running back. Oh, how was?
I don't know. But anyway,
on a white boy running back?
Ryan Brewer.
Rob DeBoer was also pretty good.
Well, you said remember? The last one, but I would go with Ryan Brewer. But no, but if Clemson had a better, more accomplished set of a receiving core, I think the running game would be a little bit better this year because they could mix it up a little more. But I'm not buying into this, hey, Will Shipley's going to carry the load that Travis Etienne carried. Travis Etienne was just special. Just special. So step back for the running game. But I think the Clemson offense will be at about where they were last year, close to it. Within 50 yards a game of where they were last year.
How do you think the kid DeMarcus Bowman that left Clemson and went to Florida? How do you think he's going to do there? I think he'll be okay.
Well, I mean, he'll you know, if you're going to make me talk about Florida, I mean, DeMarcus Bowman was a guy that I think he was looking at the depth chart and realized, man, I can't get on the field here at all. And the guys they've got coming in, it might be easier for me to get on the field at Florida. And that's probably what he was thinking. He got into a couple of games last year, but then decided to transfer. I think he's going to be all right, but we'll see on that front, man. I think, you know, I give Dan Mullen grief, but I think that he's a brilliant offensive mind, and he'll have the capability of getting the most out of him. So we shall see on that front. But
because
as far as being a player, he's a hell of an athlete.
Yeah, he may get mad and throw his shoe or something. I don't know.
Never know. Then, well, I mean, if he does, Mullen will deny it. Check out that press conference. Mullen's like, I don't know. He sounds like
I can see it.
Is Dan Mullen posting in this show as Jeffrey Gooch? Is that what's happening? Because that's how Mullen sounded after that game. Did they throw a shoe? I don't know anything about all that. That's probably what's happening there. So there's that. All right. Well,
we'll be back at it on Wednesday. Do you want to do best and worst case for Clemson on Wednesday, Jackpot? Is that where we're going to go?
Sure.
All right. Well, also stay tuned to the Carolina Jackpot channel. I have got some videos that I'm going to be posting over the next couple of days, including we were talking about NIL. I had an in-depth conversation with Phil Dracovich, the quarterback for Boston College, and he talks to us in depth about NIL and, you know, the different opportunities that are there. Also posted an interview we did with Jeff Hafley. When you listen to Jeff Hafley, the coach for Boston College, he just seems like he's just with it. I mean, he really does. So we'll have that up. Also, I've got interview with Bokhorst from Clemson and Skalski. Skalski talks about some NIL stuff too. So if you're into that, be sure to follow the channel. What best and worst case scenario for Clemson? That will be what we'll have for you when Jackpot and I get together on Wednesday. New rundown with Rob tomorrow at 3 o'clock. If you are around, we got a pretty good group of folks that check out the daily show at 3 o'clock from 3 to 4. Lots of folks in the chat room, so appreciate you guys on that. Enter the contest. Win Jackpot's money. Yeah, buddy.
Will Cooley says thank you, Rob and Kale. Thank you, Will Cooley. Thank you for watching. Yeah, the link is now in the description box in this video, correct?
Yes, it is.
You can either Venmo me your $20 or PayPal it. Either link you click on will take you to either one of, those pay sites. It's $20 to get in, and that gets you in for the entire year, all 13 weeks of the regular season and the conference championship games. We're picking them against the spread, and whoever wins is going to take home the whole pot.
Somebody messaged me, $20 is too expensive. And I was like, really? Okay, here's what you do. Pack your lunch for 4 days. I mean, that's basically what it boils down to. And you can get your $20 together. And someone wants to send us a money order, Jackpot. I got to forward you. Holy shit. Someone wants to send a money order. I don't even know where to go with that.
Well, SEC Dog he's not in here tonight, but SEC Dog finally figured it out the other day. Well,
we're getting some folks in here. We're going to be.
That poor soul asked me, could he super chat it to us? I said, no. Use the PayPal link. He's like, dude, it's not working. I'm like, God dang. I'm like, just put in kale8670@aol.com when you have the PayPal address. I can't make it work. Finally, I copied my link. I'm like, here. I emailed it to him. I'm like, here. Click that. I was like, and send me the money. And he sent me $25 instead of $20. I'm like, all right, thank you for the tip. I don't know. But anyway, he's in the contest, and Ken Bellinger's in here. So far, you know, we can't very well make a real good pot with $45. So we're going to jump in.
Ball Steak wants us to take EBT. No, we cannot take your EBT money.
Jesus no, Christ. We're not set up for that yet. Maybe next year, but right now.
We've got to go to training for that. Andre's going to get in the contest. I know he will. And I'm sure we'll have shit.
They take it in the concession stand at Neyland Stadium, though.
Of course they do.
Of course.
All right, Jackpot, it's been a fun show. Best and worst case scenario for Clemson on Wednesday, man. I've had a lot of fun, man.
I have, too. It's been great.